back to Matt Flynn, director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Putin and Trump. I think that this Russian situation in Ukraine, there's a huge lesson for us. You're looking at, from my view, it's huge corruption in Russia that caused this huge failure that he's got. A lot of the things he thought he had, he didn't have. And I guess what I'd go, where I'm going with this is, we don't need anyone like Trump or Trump ever again in the presidency here, because he was much the same way. He never listened to anyone but himself. The corruption in his own cabinet was unbelievable. You know, anybody that did offer any advice to him, you know, who was the guy that called him an effing moron early on? He just got rid of people. He went through them like, you know, so much, you're out of here. And I guess my whole thing is that there's so much similarity between him and Putin, and people need to see that. I mean, Putin can blame himself for most of what's going on. Apparently, all the oligarchs were putting the money in their pockets that they thought was going, or he thought was going, in the military, and on and on and on and on. And the same type of thing would go on here under Trump again, or anyone like him.
Right. I agree with everything you just said, Dick. It was well said. And I'll even add to a couple of things. First of all, when the Berlin Wall came down, Gorbachev was the Communist Party chief, but he was a fairly enlightened individual. And he transitioned with Boris Yeltsin. The country politically got, you know, broke up the Soviet Union and basically liberated all those countries like Poland and Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and frankly, all the way down to the Balkans through Czechoslovakia and Hungary and the rest of them. And then what to do with the economy? It was a communist economy. So they decided that they were going to go and privatize it, make it a capitalist economy. But they did it abruptly and they did it badly. And I'll give you an example. There was a Russian gas company, Gazprom, and there's only one example, this oligarch Abramovich. And Abramovich offered, and Putin, by the way, at the time, Yeltsin had made him his deputy, and Putin is frankly evil. I mean, he's Hitlerian. And Abramovich was close to him and said, I put together some people, I will pay $100 million for this gas company. So they said, fine. They made believe there were other bidders. They weren't. They were fake. And Abramovich got the gas company. Then some years later, the government said, okay, we want it back. How much? And Abramovich said $13 billion. So for an investment of $100 million, he made $13 billion in a few years. Now, what you're referring to with the military is toxic to them. The military will do up invoices and orders for tanks, for guns, for planes, just like we do. And they'll order 100 planes, 300 tanks, and very, very sizable bill, a lot of money. But what will happen will be the money will go into the account that the generals and who answer to Putin designate, but they only get delivery of about half their order or even a quarter of their order. The rest of the money they just steal and put into another account. Putin and a few oligarchs get most of it, but the generals get a slice, a decent slice, and there's a slice that goes down the chain of command. So one of the reasons Russian soldiers hate their commanders and hate their generals is a good reason, because the reason that they are ill-supplied is they're running out of guns, bullets, missiles, and tanks. Because on paper it says they have 1,000 of them. Turns out they only have 250 of them. That's another example. And the final example is this, Dick. Russia should be one of the wealthiest countries in the world right now. Its oil and gas exports are large. It's blessed with a lot of natural resources. And yet, after communism fell and the oligarchs and Putin took over, Putin jailed one of the oligarchs. And the rest came to him and said, what can we do so that you don't have your special forces jail us? And he said, be loyal to me politically and give me half of what you take. And they said, fine. That's why they're all with him. this guy Abramovich, who supposedly was poisoned at the Ukrainian-Russian peace talks, that's a fraud. This guy's very close to Putin. That supposed poisoning was very light. It was his skin peeled and all that. This is such a crude thing. The Ukrainian ambassador said, I don't even know why he was there. But those oligarchs have taken something like 80% of the favorable balance of trade that Russia has based on the oil exports and the gas exports. And people over there know it, but they're afraid to do anything about it because you've seen the protests. They go out in the public square to protest and they're beaten by these neo-Nazi SS types, thrown in jail. Alexei Navalny, just an excellent reformer, was put in jail for 2 years on a trumped up charge. And then they just hauled him in and added 9 more years. You know, now when you do a protest in this country for Black Lives Matter or in the past anti-Vietnam War, that kind of thing, you had a First Amendment right to do that. In Russia, you don't. And you wouldn't do that probably if you could go to jail for 9 years. So especially a Russian jail. So what you're saying is absolutely true. A handful of oligarchs, a couple of dozen of them really, have managed through fear and killing of protesters and simply repression, gotten hold of Russia's economy. And that's one of the things that's really, really, really hurting Russia. But let me go on to something else that's just agonizing to me. One of the women under siege in Mariupol, and Mariupol is like Leningrad, it's surrounded. The Russians have burned and destroyed any food supplies, fresh water supplies, and they have people trapped in there. If they try to get out, they shoot them. And the woman said this, quote, once the children got hungry, the fire was gone from their eyes. Once the children got hungry, the fire was gone from their eyes. All the little ones, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, 7, 8, 9, 10. Their confidence, their humanity, as they starve, goes out of their eyes. And I've got a question for us as Americans. Where is our soul? Where is our soul? Are we going to permit children to be starved in a country in Europe adjacent to Poland? Because the Ukrainian Defense Force is terrific, but they can't march the whole length of the country to Mariupol while they're trying to defend themselves against the Russians elsewhere. If they were given those MiG jets, 70 of them that are possessed by the former Warsaw Pact countries that are now in NATO, like Poland and Lithuania, and if they were given a lot more tanks, and if they were given anti-aircraft systems that didn't just go up 5,000 feet or 20,000 feet, but went up a lot higher to take out Russian jets, and if they were given shore-to-ship missiles that could be posted along the shore of the Black Sea, in the Sea of Azov, and hit Russian ships that are pounding these cities, they could protect those children. They could open up a supply line and bring in food and water. But for now, it's, quote, once the children got hungry, the fire was gone from their eyes. That is disgusting. Frankly, that is disgusting. And what the West is doing, and this is a message to Joe Biden and his administration from me, a Democrat. Yes, I understand that Trump is a criminal. Yes, I understand that he is in the service of Putin. And yes, I understand that if he ever got back into power, he'd take us out of NATO. And it wouldn't just be Ukraine where the fire would go out of their eyes. It would be Poland and other places. I understand all of that. But Joe, to get reelected, you are making a big mistake. The people of this country are not going to vote for Trump and against you if you get food to those children. the people of our country will vote against you and inadvertently slide in Trump to our great destruction if you continue to sit back and watch the children starve. And I'm just going to flat out say that. There is no good reason not to give these people the planes and the tanks and the anti-aircraft systems. No, none whatsoever. And shut up about things like what you won't do. Like, we're not going to put American soldiers in Ukraine. Of course we're not. I get it. I get it. And we're not going to have American pilots enforce a no-fly zone. I get it. Ukrainian pilots can easily enforce a no-fly zone. Get some food to Mariupol. Putin is toying with us, taunting with us. He's saying, okay, you say I can't hit NATO, but I will torture people 10 miles from the NATO border or 100 miles from the NATO border. I will make you watch children starve. I will make you watch Islamic terrorists from Chechnya go through and beat and rape women. I will make you watch all of that because you are weak. Germany, which has a socialist green government, would sit back and do nothing. Poland and Lithuania, who have more recent experience than any country in the horrors of Russian occupation, want us to send the planes. France is equivocal. I get all of that. But we're the United States. And a great president would say, I am getting food to the children of Mariupol. I'm going to put the fire back in their eyes. I am not going to let a Hitler wannabe starve children in front of my eyes because I'm, quote, afraid of what? Sure, Putin has nuclear weapons. So do we. A lot, and we have a much better military. And this is not an attack on Russia. This is letting Ukraine defend itself. I am very tired. In this country, we have one treacherous party, the Republicans, a fascist party who are pro-Putin. I get it. But the Democratic Party is too weak and cautious. You know, those children starve. The Democrats are not getting reelected for a generation. And the result will be a criminally corrupt fascist Republican government. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.